This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services. Are you still cutting your own grass? Are you still trying to get your landscaping to look perfect on your own? That sounds sweaty. That sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like a job for Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services. Family owned and operated, Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services, located on Kern Street in Exeter near Blue Ribbon Dairy, has the quality and experience to get your yard looking its best. The Garden Center offers plants, trees, sod, mulch, rocks, flowers, topsoil, grass seed, straw bales, and much more, while the Lawn and Landscaping Services offers mowing, trimming, planting, and full landscaping. And also new at Keller's Garden Center is the Zen Chaser Bonsai Studio, offering bonsai trees, supplies, and classes. Visit them on their social media page for more info. Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services. Get your free estimate today. I finally have the hottest band in NEPA on the show. Pucker up.
Where?
It's you guys. Pucker up. What's up?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hit up Tanner back in August, and I think you guys had just formed, and I don't even know. So I try and stay on top of things, right? In the local scene. And I'm glad it took us this long to kind of get this set up, because a lot has happened with you guys since then. I mean, you were, like I said, you're just kind of formed back in August, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're taking the NEPA and beyond by storm. And it's also nice because I got to see you perform between then and now. So that's also helpful. And I have to say, I'm a huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I forget. I don't know if I saw a video online or something. And I'm familiar with Tanner. Obviously, he's been on the show before with Blind Choice and some other different aspects of what I've been doing over my career. So I don't know if he just popped up and I saw he had a new band and I was like, okay, this is cool, or what happened, but I'm glad we were able to set this up.
Yeah.
I've got Demi, Shug, and Tanner from Pucker Up. And they're not hostages in a basement.
No, we are.
They're here on the show willingly. But what's been going on? I saw you guys at the emo night at the Ritz Theater. I mean, I just love everything about the band. The stage presence, the lyrics are smart. You know, you guys have the look. Not that the look is anything like on purpose, but it's just like this whole vibe about you guys is just awesome. So tell me about Pucker Up. How do you guys start?
We all had kind of a rough summer last year. I've known Demi since I was like 12. We went to school together, did sports. Tanner's my younger cousin, so I've known him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know. It started with a lot of notes app, diary entries, and then us just like hanging out. We were like, maybe we should start a band. Like, this would be pretty cool. We used to go to the NEPA scene music, the open mics on Tuesdays at the V-Spot. Okay. And then one day we were like,
we talked about it for a while.
We did.
Yeah. Eventually it came to fruition.
Yeah.
We were talking about it for probably like 2-3 months. Well, at least when I was involved in the conversation before we even started, for like 2 or 3 months, we just talked about it and then we finally did it.
Yeah.
When you say a rough summer, like all you guys, like, can you elaborate on that, or would you prefer not to?
It was just kind of sad. There's a lot of heartbreak and like, you know, ending connections and confusion in relationships for like a lot of us. And
identity crisis.
Yeah, graduating college. Yeah. And like, what the fuck do I do now? Like,
normal life stuff, though. I mean, this is all like, I mean, a lot of us go through that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. I can't, you know, it's been 20 years since I, you know, finished college. So I'm a little bit removed from that. So I couldn't imagine what it's like now. It's a different world now.
Very stressful.
Yeah. So weird. And then I was like, hey guys, I'm going to move. How about that? So just like, I don't know, going through like, where am I going to be and where are we going to be and am I going to be with my best friends? And I don't know. We definitely weren't expecting like Sid to kind of pop off the way that it has been. Like, we were just like, let's try an open mic. I was like, I have some songs that would be really fun to play. So we kind of had like three practices. It started because of Burning Roses Fest that Jess Mione hosts at Naog Park. And okay. I had originally entered. I started doing open mics again, like when I graduated. And I was going to go and do like some cover songs. And then like a couple weeks in, we started the band. So I was like, hey, like, can we be a band instead of a solo act? And she said, yeah. And then it was like 2 weeks later that we played Burning Roses Fest after our first practice. And it's
kind of it. Rest is history. So have you, I mean, I know Tanner's history as far as, you know, him being a drummer and other things, but I mean, have you guys always been musicians or is this something fairly new?
Yeah, I know Shay did a lot of music stuff in high school. I played in a lot of basements. Like, I've never really like took it seriously. I used to drum a lot. And then I went over to bass and yeah, I've always played like with my friends in their basements alone, but never really like took it seriously. I liked the hardcore type of music growing up. So we played a lot of that and it's not very structured or anything. It's just like playing someone's garage or in someone's basement. And yeah, now I'm in a band.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I used to like, I mean, like I said, Tanner's my cousin. So my aunt used to make me sing songs with his bands, but I'd never been in a band before. So this is my first time like doing like a collaborative like thing where we all kind of have a common goal and it's not just like, hey, Aunt Noel said you have to sing at the fireman's picnic because we need an hour long set.
And we're short.
And we're short, 10 minutes. So.
It also helps a lot. Like Shay and I have like such a history together. We're playing again. It's just like how we did growing up and we kind of just locked in immediately with each other and knew exactly what to do, when to do it. It's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, I mean, you guys, you know, as you know, seeing you perform, it kind of looked like very natural. It just works like without any kind of force.
Thanks.
Yeah. I feel like we have like a really good connection personally and, you know, musically. It really did click for all of us pretty instantaneously. So we're lucky, honestly.
Yeah. That helps that we're already friends. Yeah. We love each other. So like, you know, it's not, you know, we didn't have to go through the like, hi, how are you? What do you like to do?
Type of thing. I'll age myself. You didn't have to do like a Craigslist ad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you know what that is?
Yes.
I'm not really even I'm not sure what it is. I've never had to use it before. I've never actually done that.
What is this list?
Craigslist.
It's Craig's. It's his list. Yeah. But I said, you know, you've taken the scene by storm and everyone's talking about Pucker Up. And you're playing like almost every weekend. I mean, is this what you expected this to do or because it happens fast.
No,
it's all happening rather quick, but we're enjoying every second of it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's really cool. Definitely wasn't expecting it though.
Doing it for fun, really. Yeah. I mean, the Burning Roses Fest.
Yeah.
So like, we were just having fun. And
yeah, and then everything kind of booked up from there. Yeah. We played a lot show. And then I think our Instagram, we had just made it like a week before to post the promo, maybe 2 weeks before. And like after that performance, it jumped up like a couple dozen followers. And then people started reaching out, like asking us to open for them and play other shows. So that I kind of, it's still kind of in that stage where we're like, I don't know, people just kind of, they see us and they fuck with us and they want us to play. And that's like all we could kind of ask for. Cause it's like, I don't know, all of us like grew up going to shows in the area. So it's really cool. Like when bands that we like used to go watch, you're like, hey, do you want to open for us? We're like, fuck yeah, we want to open for you. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But it's definitely happening really quickly.
Yeah, but like you guys just have like this, like just this vibe. It's fun. It's like energetic. It's everything a band should be. And I think I was talking to Josh Balls or Joe Caviston at the Ritz that night, and I used the word reckless, and not in a bad way. It's just like this reckless, like it's just like we don't give a shit. Like we're here, we're having fun. Like I said, the lyrics are just so smart. And we'll get into some of those, because like I remember after your set, I came back and I was asking about one of the lyrics and what song it was, because I missed the song title. But I mean, this genre, what would you consider? Is it punk? Is it?
What do you say it was? It was punk, funk, jazz.
Punk, emo, indie sleaze. No, I think we fall under just the broad-based category of punk. It's hard to like give yourself one genre now because there's a fucking million of them. There's like garage punk and sludge punk and piss punk and pop punk and punk rock and, you know. But I think we're still finding our sound.
Because genre bending, I'd say.
For sure. We take a lot of inspirations from a lot of different bands. So to kind of put ourselves under one thing is like, so we just say we're loud music.
We make noise.
Yeah,
noise.
You're reckless. So we'll say reckless in a good way. In a good way. And I saw this episode will air after some of the shows you have coming up. But I saw one of the shows you have coming up is like with a hardcore, primarily hardcore acts.
Yeah,
which is wild.
yeah, we're playing metal shows. We're playing ska shows. We're playing, you name it. Honestly.
Yeah, that's a really fun time.
Are you at a stage where you're like, we'll play everywhere and anywhere?
Yeah, pretty just much. About.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just kind of like, I mean, we like playing and we like workshopping our stuff. And like, I mean, the songs that we started off with have changed so much just from us like playing them live and being like, it would sound cooler if we did it this way. Like, I mean, dude, we were literally just recording for our album like last weekend and we changed some of the songs like then. So like, I don't know. We like playing with different sounds and bands that bring different sounds because it kind of like highlights some of the things that we'd like to try in our music, and you know, it's fun. And I love a mixed bill. I love a mixed bill.
I did too. I used to do some shows at Carl Hall, RIP Carl Hall, a few years ago before the pandemic, and I would have two performers, and I would have an opening acoustic act, and I would have a full band afterwards. But they were both not opposite, but they weren't like related, because I wanted to kind of have that mix. So like, you know, obviously you guys have inspiration and you pull it from probably a ton of different genres and different styles and different musicians. So I wanted to kind of have that. So like, let's say I was never familiar with Pocket Rock, but they were on a show that, you know, for James Barrett or something like that. I found you guys by accident. Like, that's awesome. So yeah, it's really cool. You're kind of open to doing that.
Those are like our favorite shows, honestly.
Yeah.
Where we're like playing with bands that don't exactly sound like us. But we also have songs that are like, that sound like they're different genres, like within themselves. So
yeah,
I think it's fun.
What are some of the venues you've played so far?
We played Doug's Boarding Room back in November. We played The Bog. That's like our favorite spot. We love it over there.
We played Bazaar.
Yeah.
We played The Meat Locker. That was really awesome.
So cool. Yeah. We played Gold Sounds in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago. Spacement. That's been such a cool new venue.
And I've never been there yet, but I heard good things.
It's awesome.
Yeah, great.
It's awesome.
V-Spot.
Yeah, we played the B-Spot a few times.
Backyard, Ale House.
Yeah. Mostly bars. I think the only all-ages shows that we've done have been like Doug's, Burning Roses. The Circle Drive-In was really cool for Horror Fest. That was awesome.
And that show at Doug's, you said, was in November. So fairly early in your time as a band. And you guys opened for Turnover, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild.
Yeah, no.
I thought they were joking. The gig presented itself. It was like one of those like drunk bathroom conversations with the person that hooked the show up for us. She was like, "Do you want to open for turnover?" And I was like, "Haha, yeah, I want to open for turnover. That'd be so cool." And I went out and told Demi, and Demi was like, "This is going really fast. Like, let's, yeah, for sure." And then the next, she texted me and was like, "So here's the details. Text this person. Show's November." We were like, "Wait, no, actually, like, are you serious?" So that was really cool.
I think, is it Tony from Glass Mask? That's her name, right? Tony. She said one of her first shows was with, I think, Tiger's Jaw.
Oh, my God.
And she was like, "No big deal." It's like, I'm like, I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
You know? And turnover is amazing. Like, so it's like one of your first shows is, as a band, or not first show, but you know what I mean? Early on in your time as a band, and here's turnover.
Yeah. It was really
cool. That's awesome.
Very spooky a little bit, but they were so nice. Everyone that night was so great. And like, it was for a great cause. So like, we were expecting the vibes to be awesome anyway. And
did you say spooky?
Yeah, it was a little spooky. Because I mean, like, listen, Turnover, Peripheral Vision, like my whole summer, three summers probably in a row, were soundtrack from age like 14 to 17, just Peripheral Vision on repeat. So like, playing with them was like,
yeah.
Hi.
It was wild. Hey.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's
awesome. Now at that, I don't want to put any bars on blast, but at emo night, you mentioned Backyard Ale House.
Yeah.
And an incident that happened there. But then you were playing the Ritz, like, let's say it was a Friday, and you were going to play at the Backyard the next night. Mm-hmm. Was that sarcastic, or was that like a legit, like, yeah, this fucking happened, but like, we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to hide from, you know, stupid shit.
Yeah. The Backyard incident. Yeah. We actually got the show because we played that song at the Turnover show, and the guy that was doing sound, his brother's like, his family like owned Backyard. He's like, "Love that Backyard song. That's my family's bar. Do you want to play there?" And we were like, "Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it's not gonna make us like you anymore, but sure." Right. The Backyard incident wasn't like a Backyard employee related thing. It was just kind of got shitty news while I was at Backyard.
Gotcha. And
anytime I've gone to Backyard, like, weird shit happens.
Yeah.
So strange. We avoid Backyard in general. No shade. Great mac and cheese. Awesome drinks. Super cool bartenders.
Really good French fries.
Great French fries. Yeah. We just don't have the best luck there. So we stay on the other side of the downtown square block.
I gotcha. I mentioned earlier about the lyrics. And I want to talk about some of them, because like I said, I obviously can't write music. I couldn't, you know, put words to a song if you had a gun in my head. But we'll start with, is it Creole?
Yeah, Creole.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the lyrics include, "This is not a game of guess the race or guess the name or type of place that I come from."
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. I mean, obviously a lot of these lyrics, I would imagine, like, these aren't just like lyrics you picked out of the air. I think there are a lot of them are very important to you, and they're meaningful.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. Well, it started off, we were in the bog one night, and this guy came up to us, which this is an experience that we unfortunately have a lot. A white man came up to us and said, "Yeah, I know where you guys are from," or something like that. Like, "I know what you guys are. You're Creole." And we're just like, "What?
No,
we're not."
No. And he was like, "Do you even know what Creole means? You're definitely Creole." And we were like, "No, I promise. I promise not." And then he just kept like trying to guess where we were from. And he was like, you should get an ancestry DNA test because you look Creole. You're definitely Creole." We were like, "Okay. Thank you so much. I had no idea. I love when I get free 23andMe's at the bog. That is so cool. People pay like $100 for those. So thank you for the free one." But yeah, that just kind of came from there. And then we were sitting at the table and I pulled out my phone and I was like, "Fuck you." Stop trying to guess where the fuck we're from. And then honestly, the band wasn't even like a hard thought then. This happened probably in like June of that year, 2023. And then like, as we kind of booked our first gig and didn't have any songs like written for it. So then like we were sitting in this basement, this is where we practice. And I like pulled out the notes up and we were like, all right, shoot it off. Let's go. Like, how do we, let's make a song about this. Let's make a song about this. And that just kind of came.
Did they come pretty naturally?
Yeah, I'd say so. I really enjoy writing.
Yeah.
And fun. Yeah. And they're really good at coming up with like, I can't come up with chords and melodies. I like poetry and I like writing, you know, I like making words fit together. So that's kind of what I'm able to bring to the band. And these guys are really good with like feeling out how the song should sound.
I think you do a great job with that. I mean, some additional lyrics to that is, so play the game of guess the race and win a punch right to your face. Oh, look, you won. It was so good. So good.
Thanks.
And then, you know, it's just a great way to get a point across. And then you have like this crowd involvement, right? Like, with, Do Not Ask Me to Touch My Hair.
Mm.
It's, you know, you get the crowd to spell. And then like, how did that, I mean, that, like, that was, it's such a great, like, part of that song. Like, yeah. I can't get over it. I don't even know how to explain it, but like, such a great part of the song. Like, I don't know how to like explain it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We were definitely just kind of sitting down here and trying to think of like what to come next. And I was like, yo, it would be so cool if we like really drilled this into these guys' heads. And it started with just like me spelling and them two saying it back. And then we were like, yo, like we should get the crowd in on this. Like this would be so fire. It's cool. Like, I feel like the song is really cool for like people that look like Demi and I, like to feel like a relationship to the song, and like for people that don't look like Demi and I and maybe don't know what the experience is. Tanner. I'm kidding. It's not Tanner. Tanner's for the people. I lie. No, but we'll go on forever. No, but for people that like don't know what the experience is like. It's like I thought it would be kind of like a fun way, like to be like, look, you're participating and you didn't even know it. You're a poet. Right. You didn't even know it. And now you've already sold it back to me. So don't ask me to touch my fucking hair. Now you get it.
Okay. Yeah.
But these people still ask sometimes.
Literally right after we played, I think it was at the view spot, like immediately after the set, some woman came up to me and she's like, I saw you performing. Your hair looks so great on stage. Can I touch it? And I was like, so did...
You're not listening.
Who's saying the words back to me?
Yeah. D-O, do, N-O-T, not A-S-K. So,
what did I spell? Touch? Just one touch. Let me ask.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, right? Like, and what, I mean, it's weird. I mean, I obviously have never experienced that. One's asking me to touch my hair.
Yeah, it's quite an uncomfy situation. And I know a lot of the time it kind of comes from just a place of curiosity and a place like there's not often malicious intent behind it. However, just like the appropriateness of, it's very clear that there's only a specific demographic of people whose hair you feel comfortable enough to ask to touch. And it's people who's born braids, who hairs and froze.
Right.
You know,
it's not petty too, so
let's not. Yeah. Sometimes I want to be really spicy and be like, how long are your extensions? How much were those K-tips that you paid to get?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's just like so nasty. It's such an icky thing to ask someone. Like, so.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of sympathy, but not much.
Right. Well, you say acknowledge. I mean, you're right. It's not it doesn't come from a place of like, it doesn't go to a bad place, but it's still like, yeah, you're like you said, you're not in a petting zoo.
Yeah.
And it's very nice here. Like, just yeah, leave it at that, right?
Yeah. Just say, like, our hair. There you go.
Some of the other lyrics in Wicked Wicked. Well, first, can you tell me about that song as far as its origin, if you can?
Well, we wrote it the day of the Burning Roses show. It was literally like 2 hours before we had to leave to go to the show.
Yeah. Procrastination. Song came from some, this kind of stems off of like the hard summer that we had had before forming the band. Mm-hmm. Some like the just really nasty energy that was thrown at us as like individuals. And a Facebook status was made.
Very hateful.
Very hateful. Facebook status was made.
So we try to turn negatives into positives.
Yeah. That's good.
It was just kind of funny because one of us was referred to as the Wicked Witch of North Scranton.
Okay.
And we saw the status that day and we're like,
it was Tanner, wasn't it?
It was. It was. Yeah.
That was me.
He's the Wicked Witch. Yeah.
It was just kind of, it was just funny. So we kind of just turned everything. It was nasty, of course, and it was upsetting, but.
Of course, yeah.
Well, I mean, we have 5 more minutes to fill in the set anyway.
Yeah.
What if we just go through our messages and find all the nasty things they said and read it into a song as though it was about us?
That's amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah. Do you mind if I share some?
Oh, yeah, no.
Go ahead.
But. Because again, I think the lyrics are, I mean, the fact that you're like doing this so quickly too is like, I don't know. She'll fuck her ex and blame you for it. She wouldn't have done it if you weren't so fucking boring.
Yeah, so that's a combination of things. Yeah. So we all had a rough summer. So it wasn't about one specific thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, we're thinking of people who, you know, do nasty things.
Yeah,
wicked witches.
Yeah, wicked witches. So
right.
It's not like really personable to any of us. It's just like nasty.
Right. Yeah. No, and I think that's like, there's people out there who like are like that. They'll do something bad and then, you know, blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. This they're is really reason with too.
Those people very reasonable.
Things.
This is the line that got me at the Rich show. If she smells fear, she's gonna consume, and if you cry for her, she'll wear your tears as her perfume.
Yeah. So,
I don't know what it was about that. Like, wow, that's awesome.
Thanks.
But I just like picked like this woman or person, right? Wearing someone's tears as her perfume. Like that's how like that's like when I heard that, I'm like, where did that come from? So good.
Just trying to find things that rhyme.
No.
Yeah.
Literally.
Well, sure, right? Obviously, that's part of it. But it's just, I think it's just really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I really liked the imagery of, like, wearing tears as perfume. So, like, we sat here, like, what rhymes with perfume? Like, ah. Oh. How can we put this in?
Just trying to create the nastiest image of this witch.
Yeah.
And I think it
would be job well done.
Pretty fun. And it's just so much fun to play. Like,
oh yeah.
One of the first original songs we wrote, and it's still one of my favorite ones to play. Like, great time.
Yeah. And all these are on the streaming services. So anyone listening or watching, you know, be sure to check those out. Talk to me, all this has happened so fast, right? But talk to me about, it feels like a lot of this has just come your way organically. But I'm sure that, you know, as you form a band and kind of, you know, get these shows and perform these shows and, you know, spend more time together, I'm sure you kind of create goals that you might have as a band. Yeah. Do you have those? And if so, what does the future look like for Pucker Up?
Having fun. That's just it.
Making noise.
Having fun.
I love making music. We actually went on a walk today, and we're just talking about how, like, there's so many songs that we want to write, and there's so many things that we want to talk about. A real goal, though, we want to play First Unitarian Church in Philly. That's like,
is that like an underground, like,
it's type like of like punk hardcore?
Right.
Saw a lot of my favorite shows there, so
right.
That would be a really cool place to play. A tour, we'd really like to tour.
Yeah,
and do stuff. Tanner's very passionate about this. He really, we really want a tour. that's one of like the real goals that we're like trying to set up with, like, you know, playing shows in different areas and meeting people and, you know, making friends and with other bands that, you know, live in different areas and bringing them out here and going out there to play with them. That's been like probably my favorite part about it. Like,
yeah,
making friends that also make music and like just having something to talk about. Cause I could talk about music and making music and listening to music for like days without running out of breath. So yeah, it's been so cool to like meet so many like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And everyone's been so nice. Like, everyone's been so nice. But yeah, touring, playing First Unitarian,
recording an album,
putting out an album, recording an album, and just like making music, making friends.
Do you have more music done? Ready to record?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. We're in the process of recording our album. It's about halfway done. Looking at release in August.
Yeah.
So that'll be out.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I like the kind of, I asked if you had a plan and it really kind of seems like there isn't one, which it just, it's, we're having fun doing this. And I think at the level you're at and like your age too, like this is the time to like just, you know, not get caught up in like, oh, this is where we caught fire, we have to like do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
No, like not get lost in that, like, you know, trying to figure it all out. Just kind of, everything's been going so well as you're doing it. So why not keep rolling with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of our momentum kind of comes from the fact that like we're genuine and like genuine people recognize other genuine people. My favorite local bands growing up are people that I felt like I could connect with and people that I felt like weren't separating themselves from, you know, the people that loved them musically and the music and, you know what I mean? Like making like a divide between the two. So, and I think that we kind of emulate that because that's all something that we really enjoy in other acts. Right. The genuineness of it, like the realness of it. So,
well, it's important with life, right? Like just being a good person and not trying to be, you know, something you're not, right?
Yeah.
I think that comes off in everything you guys do. Like I said, I was thinking we perform once, but I just, that's what I got from it's, I'm going to call you kids. Don't take offense to that. But I could technically be your father. Like, you're just like three kids, talented and having a good time. And like that comes off in everything you guys do, whether it's, you know, a performance or doing a podcast or just hanging out back in the green room. It's just like, it's just genuine.
Yeah.
So.
Good vibes.
Thanks.
For real, for real.
Tanner, are you still doing Blind Choice?
Yeah, we just played with them last Saturday at the showcase, Sherman Showcase.
I wasn't sure if you had time anymore.
Yeah, no, it's been crazy. It's hard balancing the two. I already kind of screwed myself and double booked a day, but I'm gonna handle that, figure it out. But yeah, I'm doing both. Blind Choice is kind of like, in our writing stages right now. Matt just came back from California after the last 2 years, so we're just kind of like taking it day by day.
I think drummers tend to do that to themselves.
Yeah.
Spread themselves too thin.
Yeah, I have like another project with my friends out at school, but that's just like whenever, you know, we have some music recorded, but...
Fake poser supremacy. They're so cool. We love fake poser. We want to play a show with them so bad.
I can't wait. I'll get fake poser into this area. Mark my words.
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's a bunch of my friends that I went to school with out in Millersville, and we're just having fun with it.
And you're finished with school now, right?
Yeah, I graduated last May.
I feel like you just started.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like you just started. So would you say that you're a full-time musician now, or what's the story with that?
Trying to be, for sure, yeah. Work part-time at the Sherman, and
Cool.
Every weekend as much as possible, practice every week, and just work as well part-time at my mom's movie theater, which is the Scranton Art House.
I also work there. Shout out. Come on Tuesday.
Yeah, come down on Tuesday.
But, I work a block away from there. Well, Like, yeah, you're on one end, I'm the other one. I went back to radio like a fool.
Yeah, stop it. I'm bartending on Tuesdays and Fridays. Come through. Yes. I said everything Tuesdays too. Yeah.
What time do you guys start?
Tuesdays and Thursdays we open at 2.
Yeah, or no, Tuesdays and Fridays we're open at 11, and then Wednesdays and Thursdays we open up at 2 p.m.
Not open on Mondays, but we're open on Saturdays and Sundays. I don't know what time though.
That's back to 11.
11.
We'll get the crew from the station to come down. Have a drink before we.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. That's I haven't been in there. I was in it before the pandemic. I'm not sure that's much different outside of like the new lights on the outside.
The inside's pretty similar.
I mean, we did some little renovations just to make it like, you know, more inviting than just like an empty husk it was.
That's a cool spot. I mean, you know, now does John Basilica own that?
Yes.
Yeah. What he's doing with the city has been incredible.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Businesses, lots of
spots.
Lots of businesses, lots of spots.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really transforming the city though. What a great thing. But back to Pucker Up, is you said there's a lot of influences and things like that. So what are some of those? Because it's you know, a collective almost, it seems.
Yeah. We have like a 4-hour-long playlist of all the songs that we like listen to, and we're kind of like the inspos when we were coming together. But like the common reoccurrences are like Paramore, Bikini Kill. Who sings Riot Girl? Destroyed. There's Destroy Boys on there. Yeah, Destroy Boys, The Oozes, Joyce Manor, Destructo Disc.
Vile.
Yeah, Vile. Giddy. Hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deftones.
I hear Paramore for sure. What about the Yes?
I can't say I'm familiar.
No?
Do they sing Maps?
Yes.
Then I do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I do like them.
Yeah.
They're funny.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. The other song that I wanted to talk about was Crybaby. Ooh. What? Talk about that one.
I mean, every time we play it, I try to highlight that it is about Crybaby Bitch Boys. So
right.
I feel like that's pretty self-explanatory. Also came out of the woeful summer of 2023. I don't know, just the idea, kind of similar to like the identity of Wicked, of people like doing you dirty and then like talking about you or like being mad at you. But the specific happening was that I was being broken up with and he was crying because he was hurting. Right. I don't want to hurt you. Oh, you poor thing. Let me comfort you as you rip my heart out of my chest and stomp all over it.
Right.
But yeah, I can't even say it was a breakup. That might be messy of me. But just the idea of how many times have like we been done wrong by people, and then like they want the comfort from us.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor thing. Are you sad that you made me sad? You're angry at me because I'm angry at you. Like, what do you mean?
Do you think that's, I don't want to say it's a generational thing, but I feel like it's, everyone does it across, you know, in all of time, right? But like, I just feel like, I don't want to say younger generation. That's not fair. You know what I'm trying to say? That like, I think people have become better manipulators to a degree, if that makes sense. Like, and they can try and do that. Like, you know, that's a kind of a sense of that, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure. Like,
a lot of people didn't really have a lot of healthy relationships and connections growing up. I feel like that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's like more prevalent. That's kind of, I guess, what I was trying to get at before. It's more prevalent now as, you know, people communicate majority like online, you know, never face to face. It's so easy to hide from people. It's so easy to like do all these things. And it has to be like difficult. And it's like, it's a weird thing that I can't understand because I've lived my life, you know, more, I guess it's, I've been online more than not, but like your age, right? You've had the internet for probably the entirety, at least, you know, since you were able to use you know, it's a weird thing.
Definitely is. I think with emotional literacy that the internet provided, of people being able to put like names to their feelings and the ways that they were feeling, that also unfortunately opens the door for manipulators to put words, you know, to things that they're not feeling, make you feel a lot more invalid because they're using like the big words that feel like they're real.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of it is like you said, people were raised by people that were hurt, like hurt people hurt people. And I think that there's like just compounded like generations of trauma that led to like, now there's like all these people that are our age and younger that grew up with hurt parents, but now we have like words to like talk about it and like online therapy and like, you know, shit like TikTok and Instagram and I don't know, all the social medias that kind of have given us access to words like narcissism and manipulation and gaslighting and things like that. And so I think, unfortunately, with anything, sometimes it ends up in the wrong hands.
Right.
So,
yeah, well, I feel like the social media and online kind of breeds that to a degree. Mm-hmm. It's easy to, you know, hide behind something, you know?
It's easy to like hide behind a screen and talk all that shit, but then in person it's like it's too real. You can't handle it.
I always say that I think the internet and social media is a blessing and a curse, and maybe social media nowadays is leaning more towards a curse than it is a blessing, because it was meant to connect us, right? It was meant to you know, Aunt Susie living in California was able to stay in touch with, you know, me, you know, in Pennsylvania, and you know, see what I'm up to or whatever, but it's created such a division across the platforms.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
It is. Blessing and a curse is so real. There's been like, it's like amazing to run into new music and new artists and like the connectivity of it all, like discovery is like so cool. But like you said, it leaves a lot of room for nastiness. And
there's bad people out there too. It's just like, I've got two kids, one's 6 and one's 20 months old. A boy and a girl. The girl's 20 months old, and I'm terrified of what, because girls are mean to each other.
Yeah.
Boys are mean too, but girls are just, I don't know what it is. I think they're, from what I've witnessed online, just they're just mean.
Now people can be really nasty. Just in general, people can be so nasty. I don't know. I guess all we can hope for is that like we raise people up with kindness and with love, you know, give them the tools to express their emotions, but teach them how to use them wisely and not in a manipulative manner. I guess we were like the test generation.
Well, do you feel pressure to kind of be a voice for that? Not pressure, but like, do you feel like a responsibility?
Yeah, I don't think it's pressure. I think everyone should be talking about it. If you're aware of it, like you see that there's something wrong, you should always talk about it.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you do have a platform, I feel like it's not your responsibility, but almost like it is to talk about it.
Yeah, your responsibility not to spread hate, but at the very least to like not encourage it.
Right.
You know, it's not, you know, I mean, we make punk music, so like we're definitely not children's idols. Like I don't think any 5-year-olds should be looking up to us, but I definitely do. I mean, I have sisters that are, she was 10, she just turned 11 yesterday actually, but like 2 days ago. She'll be mad at me if she hears that, sorry, but I have sisters that are 11 and 13, so like I feel like a personal responsibility for sure, making sure that like you know, my sisters are good and they know that they can be real and that they can talk about things and feel things and that it's okay and not to be nasty because it's so easy to be nasty. But I think just based off of our experiences, like, if not just off of last summer and the summer before that alone, like, I mean, growing up in NEPA is like a weird artsy kid that like went to Warped Tour in basement shows and, you know, like listened to the emo music when it wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we grew up with a lot of like that, like in-person and online, just adverse reactions. So I definitely like feel the responsibility of like being cool and being nice to people, because why the fuck not? Like, right. Why would you be nasty when you can be nice? It's so much easier to be nice to people.
For sure. But at least, you know, as bad as that summer was, at least some great music came out of it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what always happens. We, like I said before, we always try to turn that negativity into something positive. So,
yeah.
Now, is it easy? Is it just as easy to write about like good situations too?
Yeah, it's still pretty fun. I'm trying to think of like good situation songs we have. Ooh, don't quote me on that.
It's well, funny. So it's funny because, like, you know, so many, like, not so, a lot of musicians, it's like, it's they'll, I think a lot of the great, their greatest songs come out of like pain and suffering and sorrow and like, or if they're like even addiction, which is terrible. I'm not saying you should go get addicted to drugs to write good music, but like, we've gotten so much good music because of people who were on drugs, right? And then if they, you know, become sober, which is excellent, right? Great thing. But it's almost, the music's almost not as like, how do you write when you're so happy? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I know that for me, if I was ever to try and write a song, I probably would have to be in a bad headspace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that pain and get in the, you know, put, you know, pen to paper to kind of get those feelings out. Whereas, you know, if I was, you know, so happy, like, how do you, like, my life's so wonderful, like, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah, it definitely feels kind of tough within like the genre and the crowd that we run with, because there's so many haters, and like, God forbid you write about something like fun and happy. That's not punk. It's not, I guess, but I think it is pretty fun to write about like about cool and positive things. I feel like even when we are writing, it's not even like coming from a bad headspace. Like, it's like something shitty happens and like I'll write about it in the diary or write about it in the notes app, and then like when I'm ready to process it and I'm like with my best friends, like it kind of is just like, let's go on stage and scream about it, because I'll feel so much better if I can yell, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's really cool now, because like now we yell and then people yell it back to us. Like, it's a very like therapeutic thing. But I guess it is a little bit harder to write happy songs, but not in the sense that it's like difficult, just like more so like, I guess, the fear of perception, which is a very new thing for me. Like, I wish not to be perceived. And I'm like, oh, Let me join a band. Let's start a band. That would be great to not be perceived. That would be awesome if I. But yeah, I guess it's a little tougher. But.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can always like, you know, it doesn't have to be about things that you experience. You can, you know, create, you know, situations and scenarios, right?
Mm.
Which I'm sure you do.
Not so far, honestly. It's all been very like
real.
Yeah. It's. I feel more connected to the music when it's something that I can actually like.
Which I think is cooler. Not that I want, like, not that I want you to be going through like hard shit, but yeah, you could, again, back to the genuine aspect of it all. It's like,
please break my heart. Yeah.
We need to have a blade.
Can you please get addicted to drugs and say,
yeah, let's just let us pick up ketamine.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. No, for sure. It's cool. It's sick. Writing music is awesome. And just like, I've always enjoyed writing. So it's, I won't say that it's easy. Like, it's definitely not like,
no, we have to workshop the crap out of our songs to get them to sound how we want to. We'll play it about 150 times of the ways we don't want to play it, and then one we'll play like, that was kind of good. Let's keep good. That.
Yeah, and then we'll play it live, and we're like, actually,
I don't like it.
How about that way we played it the 42nd time instead of the 45th time, and then if we take that part, we put it here. And I mean, most of it, like we said earlier, is like we play it live, and then if we like it, we'll keep it, and if we don't, we'll change it and play it differently live the next week. And that's just kind of how we...
Which is awesome. I mean, that's what live music is all about, too.
Yeah.
Just... I don't know. I just... It's I've never witnessed a band, I guess, in the 20-some years I've been in this local scene kind of take off as quickly as you guys have. There are all these people always talking about it. You're on all these shows. Like... It's just great. It really is.
Thank you.
I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's been so fun.
Some of the shows you have coming up. Like I said, this is probably released early April. But I do want to talk about shows you have coming up in March, and then obviously in April as well. What does your schedule look like? I feel like you're booked every weekend.
Yeah, just about. This coming weekend we have Brutality.
Yeah. That's a hardcore show I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're playing at Spacemans on St. Patrick's Day with some really cool bands. Okay, Buddy, Samuel is making a comeback, and Sweet Nest.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's really fun with Nixville. Like, we're kind of all over the place with that one.
I love Amanda Rogan.
She is such a sweetie pie.
She is.
I love her. That was one of the first local CDs that I actually ever. Like, got my grandpa. I used to play ukulele. Don't roast me, chat, please. But
that stuff's awesome. Love that.
Yeah. And my grandpa loves music. My grandpa's a big music guy. And he heard the CD. I was like, you play this instrument, and brought it home for me. And so, like, that was like one of my first like hard copy local music thing. So I have a very special place in my heart for Amanda and Sweetness. Yeah. They're great. But yeah, then we also have River Street Jazz Cafe with Mephistopheles, which is going to be super cool. Ska band. Never did that before.
When is that one?
March 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's almost like too much great music going on now these days, which is awesome. Not a bad thing, but God, I can't keep track.
The scene is so back. It's so cool that like anywhere you go on a Friday, Saturday night, or even a Wednesday night, we play at the Bog on Wednesday night twice. And that was like, those were jumping. That was so much fun. Like, you can like step into any venue or bar and like hear a really cool local band that you haven't heard before.
Yeah. And that's like kind of how it was like right leading up to the pandemic. I feel like it was either like on the verge of popping or just like had already happened. But that took the wind out of the sails for sure. But I'm glad it's been able to bounce back as well as it has. There's not a lot of great venues either. I mean, I shouldn't say that because you just mentioned a bunch of them. But
no, it's true though, especially in the Scotland area, and especially for like all ages shows for like smaller to mid sized bands like us. Like, I mean, there's the Cultural Center, but it's huge, and then there's like the Bog, and it's this big.
Yeah.
So there's not really too many in between spaces, but it's been really cool like seeing them open up.
Yeah,
I hope they keep going.
And what do you have in April?
We're actually playing in State College for the first time.
Dope.
On April 5th with If Kansas Had Trees and Foch.
Don't mind me.
Yeah, that's going to be a weekender. We're actually going out there, and then we're coming out here. They're from the area, but they go to school out in Pittsburgh and West Virginia, so we're going out near them, and they're coming out near us.
Are you booking more shows right now, Tanner? Or just...
I'm writing one down that I forgot to write. I have to have a calendar.
No. Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah. Then we're actually playing Emo Night, HMAC.
Oh, nice.
That one that's the Philly one now.
Okay.
Yeah. You see what you wrote it here?
I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
See, that's how I do it. Yeah. I have them help me every step of the way.
He never stops being the younger cousin / younger brother that I kind of have to be like, did you Did you put this in your calendar? Did you practice this? Did you do this? Did you eat? Did you do that? Fifth and the sixth, we're going to be out. And then the 12th, we're playing in Doylestown at Nomad Skate Shop.
Okay.
With Glass Mask, with Tony.
Nice.
Glass, and Three Women Band, I think. Three girls or three women. And then we have HMAC on the 19th for Emo Night. And then there is a show in the works for 420 that I believe is going to be at the Bog. But details, more details to come on that. I'm sure we'll post it on it, about it on the socials by the time.
Where can people follow you online?
Instagram, if you're cool. Pucker Up PA. Facebook.
Is that where the kids are these days? Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I can't tell anymore. I don't know where they are.
Cooler, so Pucker Up. They wouldn't let us put the exclamation point in our name, but Pucker Up. You'll see our faces in the picture.
Got it.
The YouTube channel. We have a TikTok, but we haven't posted on it.
Is there a reason for that?
That we haven't posted?
Yeah.
Mostly because we all have like soup for brains and we'll like get dressed up before practice and be like, we have to do a TikTok today. We have to do a TikTok. We'll get here and we'll be like, Tanner will be like, yo, listen to this riff that I could put. And we'll sit here for 3 hours just being like, how do you play that on bass? Like, wait, how can we make like a, oh no, we already used this. So like the intentions are there. It just doesn't, there's so much pressure behind like TikTok. Like
there is, right?
The right one. You got to make the right one or it's not going to pop off. And you know,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm like too old for that. I don't know how to utilize it. Cause I use it. I rarely use it, but when I do, it was like for, just for humor, right? I'm not that funny. So it's like, how do I create something that's funny? Cause it's not that creative and that I don't have that much time to do it, but
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of daunting.
I'm trying to come up with ideas.
Yeah. But like, as soon as we're like, oh, this trend would be cool, there's a new one the next day and it's irrelevant. So I like YouTube. I like Facebook. I like Instagram. That's kind of where we thrive.
And what does your families think of all this? Like, I'll call it success. Like that. I mean, that's, you said you had sisters. Like they must think that, like, you know, my sister's a rock star. Like that's cool, right?
One of them thinks I'm really cool.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Tanner's been doing this for a long time. I know where his parents are, stand on that kind of stuff, but.
Yeah. The 13-year-old thinks I'm cool. The 11-year-old couldn't care less. She told me that I remind her of Madonna after the first show. She was like, you're a rock star like Madonna, but she's 11. So I was like, I don't even know what that means, girl. I don't know what you've seen of Madonna online. Yeah, well. So what you're comparing me to, and I don't really want to know. Thank you so much. Love to see you at home. But my 20-year-old sister and my 13-year-old sister think I'm pretty cool, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Demi, how about you?
So when we started the band, like, it was just so random that I, like, went to my mom one day. She's asking me what I was doing on Sunday, and I was like, oh, my band's going to play at NAOG. And she's like, what band? Yeah, ever since then, she thinks it's pretty cool. I think my family's pretty receptive to everything.
Yeah. The Pucker Up Mommies are super cool.
Yeah.
We have a picture posted with them. Yeah. The moms are sick. Dads are cool too. Dads are great. Sure. My dad comes to shows and people love my dad more than they like me sometimes. And that's like a little disappointing, but.
Same thing goes for Machete.
Yeah, Machete's
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, but it's been really cool.
They're so humble too. They're just like, yeah, we have this awesome band. It's just fun.
It is, honestly.
I like to think that if I was in a band that took off like you guys are, I would be as like just chill as you guys are. But I probably wouldn't have been. Not at my age back then. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Too late. It's never too late. You can get started today.
No, see, I'll fight that. I'll die on that hill. It's not going to happen.
You can join.
Yeah, we've been looking for Smog's perk. I'll hop on the triangle.
That'd be fun. Yeah. I could probably do that. Yeah, it's my that ship has sailed, unfortunately. Everyone says like it's never too late, but like, listen.
Yeah.
I like I said, I will die on that hill. I have this argument with people all the time. Full-time job, two kids, wife who I really enjoy spending time with. I get home from work. If I'm not doing this, you know, I'm, you know, my wife and I talk about our future and our kids' futures and just life in general. Like we have a really great relationship, and could we like do that while we work out in the basement here? Sure, maybe, but like I don't know.
Start a band with your wife and kids. That's
yeah.
That's What's that?
You start a band with your wife and kids.
Oh yeah. Well, hopefully my kid will start a band. He'll be a musician, and I can be 1,000% supportive like Tanner's parents are of him. Yeah. That's what I'll do. Are your parents still at every show?
No.
No?
They hung up that towel.
They're done?
I'll go. Well, they come out when they can. My mom is just like, she works literally 6 days a week. She only has Mondays off. So she's working, and if she can get off in time, she'll come and hang out. And my dad really likes laying on the couch now.
He's just a sleepy guy.
He works all day, and then he comes home and does his thing. And
yeah.
If he comes out, he makes it. That's awesome.
They come to the important ones, though.
Yeah, they do. They were at Backyard. That was fun.
Yeah.
And
I think they're a little intimidated by the bar scene.
Yeah.
Because it's like a bunch of 20-somethings, and they come out.
I can appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I go out and I'm surrounded by a bunch of 20-somethings, and I'm like...
And they're not fans of the moshing and everything.
Yeah, like, what? Get in this damn pit. What's wrong with you? Open the pit. I'm tired of this, Grandpa. Looks too damn bad.
Oh, man. I was in a pit once.
Oh.
Did it one time. That was it. I got beat.
A bit more. I was just elbowed in the face the other night.
Great cardio. Great character building.
I was like mid-20s when I did that, and I woke up the next day in some pain because I hit the floor a few times.
Yeah. You know, you're probably a cooler person for it.
Yeah, I could say I did it.
Yeah.
I wasn't as big as I am now back then. I want this baggy hoodie for you. It's dad bod is real. But back then I was like 150 pounds and I just got tossed around.
That's how I am now.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I crowd surfed once at a Blink-182 concert. That was a first and last.
I love crowd surfing.
Yeah. I lost my sandal.
Makes me miss Warped Tour.
Yeah. Me and Tanner started going to Warped Tour together when he was
11.
No.
11 was my first
one. Yeah, 11 was your first one. So he was
like, then I got lost.
And I had to leave the front row of fucking Bring Me the Horizon that I had sat through four sets for because he called me crying. I was like, you better fucking find your way, dude. I'm not leaving. And then my grandpa called me, and then your older brother called me, and they were like, you need to find Tanner. And I was like, what?
You'll never live that down.
I was 11.
I was 13.
I was 11.
Anyway.
Was it a different job?
Don't worry. There's a song coming out about that.
Nice. That's good. You could pull like that stuff from back in the day.
It was like one of my first concerts ever. And yeah. I just like get separated in this crowd of 100 people. And the worst part about it was that freaked me out was like, I tried to go to the front of house where, you know, they have the soundboard. And I was like, just going to stand there and watch the set from there. But then I hear the vocalist on stage go, I want everybody around the front of house to start a circle pit, start running. Like a what? And I look around and everybody's just opening up, and me, 11 years old, freaking out, shaking, grabbing the gate, like, I'm gonna die today.
He literally was like, I want to see some broken fucking arms today.
And I was like,
yeah, that's fair. That's a fair call.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place to get lost at either.
No.
People. Yeah. If you could perform at any like festival or open for any band, who would it be?
What a question.
I think think we all have different answers.
I'll take all three. I'll take all three answers.
You go first.
We'll bring back Warped Tour.
Yeah, I was about to say, dead or alive.
Warped Tour.
Jeez, I would want to open up for the Garden.
Oh, fire. Yeah.
The Garden? I'm not familiar.
Fire. They're amazing. Band from California.
I'll write it down. It's been written down. I will check it out.
My turn. Oh, Turnstile.
Oh, okay. That's the one.
Turnstile.
Okay.
I'm convinced that's the only way I'm going to see them live is if we tour together.
If you put me in the same room as Daniel Fang, I think I might have a heart attack. I think I might die. I love him so much. So if we're talking like dead.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Warped Tour, like you said. I would want to play Warped Tour. 100%. And like band that's not playing anymore, Title Fight, but
rest in peace.
Title Fight has such a spot in everyone's heart.
They own it.
Yeah.
I'd really, really like to open for Tiger's Jaw though. It'd be sick.
Well, don't you know somebody that can help make that happen?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going on tour and
I know.
It'll happen when it's supposed to. It'll happen when it should.
I feel like there's a good chance. I really do.
Do you know something that I don't?
I know. I don't know. I know.
I'm looking at that Axl right now. No, I think that would be really cool. I'd love to open for Tiger Shaw. You stole my Turnstile, but Tiger Shaw. Yeah.
That's fair.
Paramore.
Sure. Well, listen, I don't want to take any more of your time. We're recording this on a Wednesday night in March. I'm sure you guys have better things to do than talk to an old man. But I want to thank you for your time. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. I'm glad it was now and not back in August when you just started. Although I will bust Tanner's balls.
Yeah. You told me.
Dropped the ball.
I dropped it really hard. You're like, we never got music released. Let me know. And I was like, cool. We released music and I was just like 100 different other places. And I get it, man. And then as soon as I got bass, I was like, oh my God, I never got back.
It worked out like it should have. Cause like I said, I got the chance to see you guys and that was, If I hadn't seen you, this would not have been as fun as a conversation as it is. So,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah,
for it means a lot.
I'm excited for these new songs, and I'm excited for these lyrics.
Lyrics coming soon.
I'm like a fanboy over here. But yeah, they're good. It's and everyone should check you guys out because you're gonna think of a bright future. I can't imagine you won't get approached by somebody who's got connections and will help take you guys to a next level. But I think you got it all. It's like, you know, like I said, stage presence, lyrics are smart, talented, fun to watch, like. The genuine look. It's not like a forced look. It's just it's who you guys are. It's awesome. It's all good.
Thank you.
So cool.
So yeah, keep it up. Looking forward to seeing you guys play again for sure. Hopefully I'll see you guys out very very soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully so.
All right, fuck her up. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Yeah.